While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let's do just that, shall we? Shall we pray? God our Father, we thank you for this story. It's history, it's real, and yet we believe it's relevant for us today. And so, Father, please teach us, and please transform us. Father, in the words of the psalmist, teach us your ways, Lord, that we might rely on your faithfulness. Give us an undivided heart, that we might fear you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, boys and girls, I have something here. Does anyone know what this is? It's hand wash, it's soap. Now, if I was to give this to you as a present, awkward, but if I was to give it to you as a present, what might I be suggesting is your problem? Your hands are always dirty. Now, that is factually correct in our house for our children. But if I was to give this, I'd be saying, wouldn't I, that you are unclean. Your hands are unclean and I want you to be clean. That's what I'd be saying, right? We get this idea of clean and unclean. When I was growing up, I've got the immortal words of my mum in my head when I used to play in the garden and used to come charging up to the back door. And mum used to say, "You stay out there because you are filthy. You're dirty. Look at you. You're covered in mud. You stay outside. You're unclean." Anyone else get that? Or was that just me? Perhaps my mum just wanted me to stay in the garden for my life. But it's the idea. We get this idea, don't we, of clean and unclean. Or if it's dinner time and you get called to dinner, what do you normally get asked to do before dinner? Go and wash your hands. Your hands are dirty. Look at them. They're filthy. Go and wash your hands. We get, don't we, this idea of clean and unclean. Now this morning, as we come to this story in Luke chapter 5, I want to use it to show us that actually our biggest problem, our most consuming problem, the greatest problem that we have in this room is that we are unclean. Now, I recognise that some of us this morning have come with a ton of problems. And you may be thinking, really? Being unclean is my biggest problem? But actually, I want to show you that it is. And I'm not, please don't be insulted this morning. I'm not talking about your personal hygiene. That's not my business this morning. The uncleanness I'm talking about is not a cleanness that you can use soap to sort out. The uncleanness that Luke 5 introduces us to is the uncleanness before God. Uncleanness is my biggest problem. It's an uncleanness that keeps people like you and me at a distance from God. So think of my mum's words as I ran up to the back door. "You're filthy, you're covered in mud, stay outside." Now an uncleanness before God has the same effect. It is an uncleanness that means we are kept outside, we are kept away from God, from a relationship with him. It's a problem that all of us in this room have, or did have, before we met the Lord Jesus. It's a problem that is pictured for us in this man who has this skin disease called leprosy. And actually, it is this man, and we've just read the story, it is this man who runs to Jesus, who falls down before Jesus, who exposes to us our greatest problem. So let me show you this morning that uncleanness is my biggest problem. Just look with me at verse 12. Okay, here is a man. Jesus enters a town
And a man comes towards him who has this skin disease called leprosy. Now, we may not be very familiar with this skin disease called leprosy, but it was a very infectious and it was a very destructive disease. That's what we know about it. It's still in some parts of the world. It's not so much here, but it is a very infectious, very destructive disease. And this man, just get the feeling for this man, okay? Let's get into the story, because we have a story from God. How is he described? He was covered with this disease. This was totality. This was complete uncleanness. And actually, this was no small problem. It affected the whole of his life. Here was a man, as a result of a skin disease, who had to live his life away from others. He was described, or you could describe him as someone who was outside rather than someone who was inside. And so just try and get yourself for a moment into the life of this man. At one level, he was an outsider with the town and the community which he belonged to. So he probably would have had to live away from others. And on top of that, he was then, and this is the more serious one, he was cut off from the worship life of God's people. So if they would have called it this, but imagine the church, for example, he was cut off from church. He could not come because of this skin disease, which really means he was cut off from relationship with God. That's the way this man's life worked. Do you begin to see the desperation of his situation? The loneliness of his situation? This man is really living a life. So one guy I read this week described this disease as leprosy, as being the living dead. Because you were so isolated and cut off from everybody and from God that you were as good as a dead person, but you were just walking around. This man is a man who could not help himself. Do you see that? There was nothing he could do. There was no cure. There was no doctor he could go to. This was a man, because of this disease, who was an outsider. Outside of his community, outside of God and a relationship with God. Now you might be thinking, well, hang on a second. I just don't feel any connection with this man. You know, here I am, I've got this story. You know, there's this guy and you're telling me that this man is what I'm like? Well, hang on a second, because I want to show you something else that happens. Look at verse 12 again. How does this man show us what our biggest problem is? Look at verse 12. He says, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me... dot, dot, dot. What would you expect him to say? Better. That's exactly what you'd expect him to say. Lord, I've got this terrible skin disease. You can make me better. But what does he say? Look down at the verse. Let me show you it's there. What does he say? You can make me clean. Now, what does this show us? Well, that's a strange thing to our ears. What is this man asking? This man sees that his biggest problem isn't actually his skin disease, although that's the cause of what's separating him. But his biggest problem is that he's unclean. He is outside. He's separated from the place of relationship with God. And he's separated from his community. And he longs to be clean so that he can be an insider again, not an outsider. It made him someone, this disease, who was unfit, who was unsuitable for a relationship with God. And he has become an outsider. And pictured in this man then, pictured in this man is our greatest problem. See, we don't sit here this morning with a skin disease, but we do sit here with a leprosy of the soul, a leprosy of the heart, a leprosy of the mind. Why? Because we are sinners. That's what the Bible calls us. We have this infectious disease that it covers all of us, to use verse 12. There is not a bit of us that is not infected by sin. What do we mean by sin? Well, I mean every thought and action that says to God, look, we don't want anything to do with you. God, you made us, but I want everything you give, but I want nothing to do with you. That's the attitude on the inside that works itself out into everything we do on the outside. That is sin. That is what the Bible calls sin. Disloyalty to our God who made us. And this disease infects all of us. as wildly and as completely as this man is infected by his leprosy. We have a leprosy of the heart, which is our sin. And that does not mean that every one of us in this room is as bad as we could be. But it does mean that there is not a part of us that isn't in some way affected or infected, as it were, by this leprosy of the heart, this leprosy of the soul. And it is a serious and an extensive problem that we have. And its result is it leaves me unclean before God. It leaves me unfit to be in a relationship with God. It leaves me an outsider. Pictured for us in this man, this is a walking, living picture of the effect that our sin has on us. Cut off from God. Cut off from a relationship with Him. And there, if you see that, there is a desperation in this situation. There is a desperation in this man as he comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And actually there's a desperation, there should be a desperation in us. Because the Bible says that if we carry on down this path, if we live our life unclean, cut off from God, then the Bible says that on the day that Jesus comes again, that is how we will remain. Cut off from God. The Bible, as it talks about Jesus' return, uses the language of outside quite a lot. So it says, for those that have not followed Jesus, they will be sent outside, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. To be an outsider now is a terrifying prospect for what's coming. To be cut off from a relationship with God now is a terrifying prospect for what's ahead. Uncleanness is my biggest problem. And I know that many of us in this room have big problems, things that consume us, things that are filling our minds. But this man teaches us, he shows us that my biggest problem, that the problem that is most lasting of all my problems, is this problem of my uncleanness.
Tap stop working,
that's a big problem. But actually this is a bigger problem, because it lasts longer than a tap not working. It has potential to last forever. My uncleanness is my biggest problem before God. Even if you don't feel it, it is my biggest problem. And that's what this story is putting before us this morning. And I want to ask you this morning, do you feel that problem in any way? Do you feel that sense of uncleanness before God? That there's this kind of internal infection of your soul with sin that wants nothing to do with God, that has not loved God as we should, that has been disloyal to God? Is that how you see yourself? And if it is this morning, then what I want to do is simply this morning hold up to you the Lord Jesus. Because what we discover about Jesus, if this is the biggest problem that we have, uncleanness before God, it was this man's big problem, it's our big problem, then as Jesus walks onto the scene in this story, he shines brightly. We went camping in May. And one of the things I was reminded of is that bugs are drawn to light, aren't they? So you have a little torch in the middle of a field, and what happens? Vroom, just got this swarm of bugs. Now, can I say this morning that my desire is that you are like a bug drawn to the light of the Lord Jesus this morning? Because if you see that our biggest problem is uncleanness, then I hope what we see about Jesus now will draw us like bugs to a light that we need. And that is because this story shows us two brilliant things about Jesus. It shows us about his character. It shows us what Jesus is like, not just in this story, but forever. It says that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And so what he is like here, he is still like today. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this morning I want to hold his character up to you. But I also want to hold his work up to you. What did Jesus come to do? If this is my biggest problem. And the first thing that I want us to show, to see, is that Jesus wants to help. Jesus wants to help people. We've all experienced someone who does not want to help, haven't you? I'm sorry to use my children as examples. It's just my life is consumed by my children. I'm very sorry to embarrass you. But clearing the table in our house is a mission. It is an absolute mission. And it is a mission marked by unwillingness to help. You know, so please, kids, could you clear the table? They're pointing fingers at each other over here. Someone's the instigator. But please, could you clear the table? Oh, Do we have to? There's an unwillingness. There's no desire to get the table cleared. Or even worse, is someone who does not want to help but ends up helping. That's even worse, isn't it? Like the kind of the picking up the plates and kind of walking at this sort of pace over to the sink because they're dragging their heels. There's no willingness. There's no desire. They don't say, "I want to help." Now, is that what Jesus is like? You know, we've heard about Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who made us, who created us, who deserves our loyalty. And we've shunned him. We've turned our backs on him. Is that what he's like when we want his help? Do I have to help these guys? The way they've treated me? Does he drag his heels? Is that your view of Jesus? Unwilling to help? No time for someone like you? Well, let me show you today that is not what Jesus is like. Have a look at the story. Look at verse 12 and 13. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, if you have a desire to, if there's any inkling there of desire to help, please, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand to the man and he said, "I am willing." Do you get that? I am willing. I want to help you. That's what Jesus says. He stands before this man. He says, "I want to help." It's not that you're coercing me or twisting my arm. The Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus says, "I want to help you." That is what he says today. That is what he is like. That is his character. That is his heart. I want to help. Do you view Jesus that way? Is that how you see him? Or do you think he's this kind of somehow grumpy God who sits there and only helps if he has to? Now, Jesus is the one who sees this man in his desperate state of being an outsider and he reaches out his hand. Now that is a picture of compassion, isn't it? Here is a man that you should not have touched because he has an infectious skin disease. And the Lord Jesus, in all his compassion, reaches out his hand and says, "I want to help. I want to help you. I'm not some distant God. I'm not some kind of standoff, don't really want anything to do you. No, I'm right here. My hand is reached out and I want to help." And that, my friends, is our Lord Jesus. That is his character, his unchanging, eternal character. Even now, he stands in heaven with his hands reached out saying, "I want to help you." Because that is his heart. That is his compassion. That is his desire. He reaches out his hand to touch this man. Have you been so knocked by other people's unwillingness to help you that you find this hard to believe? Many of us in this room have experienced people who've said to you, "Yeah, I want to help you," but do nothing. Many of us in this room have been so broken by others who have broken our trust that when you hear somebody say to you, "I want to help," you find that hard to believe. But I want to show you this morning the Lord Jesus as the one who is totally reliable and who stands there with all the resources of the universe at his fingertips and says, "I want to help." That is his character. Not a standoff God, but a loving God who is filled with compassion, who holds out his hand and says, "I want to help." Now, isn't that refreshing? Someone who wants to help. And he especially, and please hear this, he especially wants to help today with our biggest problem. The greatest problem that we have, which is our uncleanness. There is no joy for the Lord Jesus in seeing people like us who are cut off from a relationship with God. There is no pleasure for him in seeing a world walking around that is at a distance from him because of our uncleanness. The Bible talks a lot about the love of God. Many of us will know the famous Bible verse, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." This willingness of Jesus in this story, this reaching out of his hand and he says, "I want to help you," is just a glimpse of that love of God who comes into a broken world and touches a broken humanity and says to you, "Be clean." Jesus is the one who wants to help. But look at how the story goes on. He doesn't just want to help. Because look again at verse 13. It goes on. I am willing, he says, be clean. Jesus doesn't just want to help. Jesus can help. Willingness and ability go together. I'm sure you've all met enthusiastic people who want to help you, but have no skills to do so. So, for example, if you were, like boys and girls, okay, so let me give you an example. If you wanted to get your teeth fixed, where would you go to? The dentist, right? Because the dentist has the ability to help you. You wouldn't come to my house and say, Nathan, my teeth are a bit sore. Could you do something about it? Because I have no ability. I don't understand teeth. Or what if your car's broken? Where would you take your car?
To the garage.
To the garage, because the garage has the ability to help you. You wouldn't come and bring your car to my house and say, Nathan, you know, my engine's a bit wonky. Could you do something about it? Because I have no ability. I have a willingness. Oh, I'd love to help. Yeah. And we'd get the spanner out and we'd do something. But you wouldn't fix the car. There'd be no ability. Now, you see, here's the thing about the Lord Jesus. It's not just that he says, I want to help. In this story, he shows us that he has all power to help. See, he has a willingness and an ability to help us today. It's a glimpse. What he does for this man in saying, be clean, is a glimpse into the work of Jesus. Not just for this man and his disease, but to take someone who is unclean, who is outside, and to bring them inside, to bring them into a relationship with God. That's what this story is showing us. He's the one who can do that. He's the one who can help, who says, be clean. He comes. And so just picture the scene, okay? Here is Jesus. He's got this leper kneeling before him. And he reaches out his hand in an act of compassion and says, I want to help. Now in mini, that is exactly what the whole story of Jesus is about. The whole story of Jesus is about heaven reaching out its hand, the Lord Jesus coming to earth, touching an unclean humanity in order to say to us, be clean. That we might be restored to a relationship with God. He comes to say to you and I, be clean. And just notice, when Jesus says that, so when Jesus says to someone like us, be clean, look at verse 13, it is complete and it is immediate. There's no lingering after effects. You know, he's not got to go back to the outpatient's treatment for a bit of cream to make sure it clears up properly. What Jesus does is immediate and it is complete. And so when Jesus looks upon our problem of uncleanness and he says to us, be clean, it is immediate and it is complete. That is complete cleanness and coming back into an inside relationship with God. Jesus came to make sinners clean. Now here's the question, how? How does he possibly make people like you and me clean? Some of us know each other quite well, some of us don't. But we've all got a history. We've all got stuff that we know is hidden on the inside, the little closet that no one sees in. But God sees, and we're thinking, well, how possibly could God clean me up? You know, with this big bundle of stuff that I've got going on in my heart and in my mind, how possibly could he take someone like me who's unclean and clean me up? Well, verse 14 gives us a hint. Can you look at verse 14? So he says, be clean to the man. And then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now, I recognize that this verse kind of may be thinking, well, how does that work? But I just want to show you something very simple from this verse, because in this time, this man was meant to go to the priest and offer a sacrifice. Now that has a huge kind of Old Testament background. So if we had time, we could look up Leviticus 14, which talks about a man with a skin disease has to go and offer these sacrifices. But let me put it like this. This is a hint how Jesus is going to make people like you and me clean. Because if anyone in the Bible wants to be clean, what does it need? It needs a sacrifice. If someone is going to be clean, it needs a sacrifice, a life for a life. Now in this man's case, it was just a couple of pigeons. But the point was this, a life in the place of a life, that man might be clean. that he might be declared clean, that he might come back into the presence of God. This verse is a hint to us that the way Jesus was going to come into this world and make people like you and me clean was by sacrifice. And what was the sacrifice? It was his own life. That's where this whole gospel is heading. How can he say to a man like this, be clean? How can he say to people like you and me, be clean? Because he's heading to the cross where he sacrifices his own life in place of mine. So that he can look to someone like me and say, be clean. That I can be fit once again for a relationship with God. He took in my place the punishment I deserve for my uncleanness. So that I might be brought back into a relationship with God and he might declare me clean. That's why Jesus came. He came to make us clean by offering himself as a sacrifice. And so this morning, just want to hold these two truths up, okay? Jesus wants to help. We've got this great problem of uncleanness. And Jesus can help. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. Because he can make us clean. And if that is true, if these things are true this morning, then can I just show you very briefly as we finish two things that means we should do this morning. If you get that, if you see the light of Jesus and like a moth we're going to flutter towards it, then this story shows us two things we should do. Here's the first. First of all, we should become a beggar. We should become a beggar. So just have a look down with me, will you, at verse 12 once again, halfway through. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him. He begged him. My gran always used to say to me, I remember, I don't know why I remember this phrase, but she always used to say to me, if you don't ask, you don't get. That's what she used to say. I think there's a lot of truth to that. If you don't ask, you don't get. But actually, there's an element of that that's true here. This morning, I am putting before you from this story that Jesus can and wants to help you. But if you don't ask, you don't get. This story encourages us, if we are unclean, to come before Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm begging you, please make me clean. Jesus, I want to be clean. I want to be an insider again. I want a relationship with God that starts now and lasts forever. Jesus, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, make me clean. People who beg recognize they have nothing. You may be insulted by me suggesting you become a beggar this morning. But it's the place that we start when it becomes a follower of Jesus. Because we have to beg, we have to come, we have to say, I've got nothing. This man had nothing. He had an illness that he couldn't fix. He lived outside with people, outside of people, outside of the temple life. And he had nothing. And he threw himself at Jesus and he said, Jesus, I need your help. And this morning, if you want to become a follower of Jesus, if you want to become clean, this is where it starts. Begging Jesus, the one who wants to make you clean and the one who can make you clean. You say, Jesus, please, please help me. Please make me clean this morning. And if this morning you are someone who has been made clean by Jesus, do you know how the Christian life carries on? It carries on like this. We keep being a beggar. We keep being a beggar. Just stick with me at verse 15 and 16. The story goes on. Maybe the man didn't keep quiet and maybe he didn't do things, but the crowds gather, verse 15, news spread about him all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The crowds grew. The teaching of Jesus kind of continued. He healed people. But then in the middle of all that, in the middle of him proclaiming the good news that he can make people clean, what did he do? He often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. He kept on praying. Jesus, and you think about this for a moment, Jesus had an inside relationship with God. Jesus was clean. There was no hindrance for him. And what he does in verse 16, this going and praying, shows us that he made the most of that relationship. See, when you're an outsider and suddenly you're welcomed in, you make the most of being inside, don't you? And if we have been made clean by Jesus, we should be making the most of the relationship we have with God. How? By praying. Now, it may surprise you to see that Jesus did that. Now, praying is begging, isn't it? It is coming before God and it is saying, God, here are all my needs. Here is the needs of our world. Lord, I'm begging of you because we have nothing. You have everything. And Jesus takes that relationship on, doesn't he? He takes the relationship of a beggar. He comes and he prays of his heavenly Father. Now, if Jesus, now please hear this rightly, if Jesus in his humanity needed to pray, if he needed to stay close to God, if he made the most of this access that he had, if he needed to do that, then how much more do we? How much more do we need to imitate Jesus as we make full advantage of now being clean? So can I tell you a danger this morning? As we're talking about this clean, unclean thing, and we don't feel it. And so it doesn't seem that big a deal. If we had leprosy and you'd been made clean, you would understand the advantage of being made clean. But because sin is an unseen problem, because it's a leprosy of our hearts, we kind of think, oh, yeah, well, you know, been made insiders now. We kind of think, oh, yay, great. And then we go off and we just carry on with our Sunday. But actually, we've got to see the drama of this man who was physically outside and then came inside, could now go back to the temple. This was a glorious thing for him. But we've got to understand the same about our souls and our sin. That it is serious, it is an outside problem. And then the Lord Jesus makes us clean and we now have access to God. It's a big problem, it's an unseen, it might not be a felt problem, but it is a real problem. And Jesus makes us clean. And if we are to carry on, if we're to carry on as clean people, we should keep on begging. We should keep coming before our Father in heaven like Jesus did, withdrawing to lonely places to pray, to call upon God, to beg of him and say, we need your help. And so let me ask you this morning, do you pray? Do you make time to pray? If you've been cleaned up by Jesus, you have been brought into the most privileged of places, which is access to God, to the throne of grace. Why would you not use it? And actually, Jesus, in the middle of all his busyness, he knew that he had to pray in order to stay focused on the things that matter. And if we as a church, if we as individuals are to stay focused on the things that matter, we must pray, we must keep being beggars, making the most of this cleanness that we have been given by Jesus. So Jesus is willing and he is able to help us with our greatest problem of uncleanness. Will you be a beggar this morning? Will you ask him to make you clean? And will you keep being a beggar as we come to him and ask for his help? Why don't we bow our heads and let's pray for a moment. Father, it says in Ezekiel, an Old Testament book, a wonderful promise that you said to your people, I will save you from all your uncleanness. And Father, we thank you that in the Lord Jesus, you have reached out a compassionate hand to unclean people like us. And you have expressed all your willingness and desire to help us. And you have saved us from our uncleanness. Father, please today, would you help us to rejoice afresh this morning if we have been made clean by Jesus? Would you help us to be those this week who take full advantage of our new position before you, to come before your throne of grace with all the privilege and all the access that Jesus enjoyed. Father, help us to be prayerful people this week who come begging of you regularly. And Father, we pray particularly for those in our community as yet who do not know Jesus, who have not been cleaned by Jesus. Please, in your mercy, would they experience the compassion of Jesus, who says, be clean, to those who come and beg of him. Father, please help us to know these truths this week, to love these truths, to live by these truths, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song, which may sound funny to your ears if you are not used to Christian stuff, but it's talking about the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make us clean, wash away our sin. But that's because we celebrate what Jesus did at the cross. I said earlier that sacrifice was the way that people got clean, that they moved from outsiders to insiders. And that's what we celebrate about the cross. We're not gory people. We don't just love blood for the sake of it. But it's because Jesus' blood, the blood from his sacrifice, is the blood that makes us clean. And that's why we sing about it. He's the hero of the church's songs. So let's stand and let's sing this together.
See you.